Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
This is part two of a Prevent Connect podcast, a conversation with Sarah Diamond from Center for Community Solutions, discussing the importance of incorporating comprehensive sex education into sexual assault prevention efforts. If you missed part one, check out our July newsletter and you can hear the first part of this conversation.
So I want to talk briefly about the prevention work that you're doing at your agency. And I want to hear, I'm so interested, to hear how your passion in human sexuality informs your prevention work that you're actually doing in the community.
So I work with students in a high school setting, typically freshmen, and then I also work with incarcerated youth, typically between the age of 15 and 19. And with the different populations, I definitely carry myself in a different way, but I'm essentially providing the education that's going to be age-appropriate to them, developmentally appropriate, and honestly culturally appropriate for them. So the things that I talk about with my incarcerated youth might be a little bit more in-depth and might be a little bit more real than the things that I talk about with my high school students, mainly because we know that some high schools are a little hesitant around conversations of sex, and so when it comes to that particular program, we want them to see that, first, there's healthy and unhealthy relationships. So that's really what our foundation for our program is. So we bring out the power and control wheel, and we want students to see that these behaviors are things that happen, and a lot of them have probably experienced those things. Then we talk about media, gender, and social norms. So our view is that if, as a human being, you don't respect another gender other than your own, then that yes means yes doesn't mean anything ultimately. So we really want to start deconstructing gender roles and get students to see that these gender roles absolutely influence how they interact with the world, and they absolutely contribute to the violence that we're seeing. So when we view women as a very negative type of being in this world and we use really degrading words, then it kind of justifies the violence that women are experiencing. So that's how we want them to see it. So that's the second lesson for us. And then that goes into our third one, in which we talk about consent and boundaries. And we do a really great activity where we give them consent cards and essentially say, okay, you want to engage in this activity with your partner. Your partner responds with this word. Is this consensual based off of the definition that we had previously discussed? And if it's not, what are your next steps? And so this is where I'm really pushing my students to see that it's a conversation with their partners. Because maybe your partner says, I guess, and you know, okay, based on the education I've received, that's a no, because that person really is not enthusiastic, they're not super into it, that's a no. Okay, you can stop, which is great, which is what we want. But you can also have a conversation with your partner without pressuring them. And that's the skill set that they will need further on down the line, but it gets them to start thinking about the fact that consent very much is a conversation to have with partners and with ourselves. And then we also do bystander intervention, and so we really encourage our students to be upstanders when they're seeing some type of violence happening, whether in school or with their friends or in their community. And then with my incarcerated youth, we go even more into relationships. We talk about how do you handle jealousy? We validate for them that jealousy is a normal human emotion, but what's important is how you respond to it and how you process it for yourself. How do you deal with anger? How do you break up with someone? Because we never teach people how to break up with people, and then, you know, relationships end, and that's a part of life. So how do you do it in a healthy manner and understand that, yes, it's going to hurt for you. Yes, it's going to hurt for the other person, but you can do it in a really respectful manner and in a healthy way. And so those conversations happen a lot more in depth with my incarcerated youth, and it's mainly because I have much more time with them. I'm typically with those students for 9 weeks as opposed to 3 to 4 with the high school students.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing your work with us. It's
yeah.
really clear to me that you're a champion for youth and their leadership in shaping our future. So thank you. Yeah, no, it sounds like you're doing some amazing work, and it's so good to hear. So before we wrap up, I'm wondering if you would, for folks who are listening, preventionists who are doing this work in their own communities, what are some really concrete ways that prevention practitioners can incorporate sexual health promotion into their sexual assault prevention efforts?
I think that is a great question, and there's a few pieces to that. I think first and foremost, it really is normalizing the conversation around sex. We already work in a field that's really sensitive, and we are trying to break that sensitivity and, you know, talk about this taboo subject of intimate partner violence and sexual violence with our youth, and that's fantastic. And I think it needs to be from a little bit more of a sex positive piece, and that really goes into the nuances of consent piece. So I think that it's not enough just to sit there and kind of lecture our students. I think that they need to walk away with those skill sets and be able to process these things for themselves. So maybe they're not going to engage in sexual activity at this age because they're freshmen or they're sophomore, and so this isn't something that they're ready for. But maybe in a few years they're going to be, and they're going to remember that one teacher that talked to them in a validating way, in a way that normalized the conversation, that made them feel safe and comfortable, and they're going to be able to then hold that space for themselves, which is a really fantastic skill set to have. And I think that's something that we really need to be encouraging our students, and that's done through normalizing this conversation and then also really getting at the nuances of consent. On top of that, I think that we really need to discuss more about the gender roles that, you know, we have in our society and how those absolutely are influencing the violence that people encounter. And moreover, I think that we as teachers, as educators, need to understand that not all of our students in the classroom are going to identify as heterosexual. And so that means using examples that are inclusive, using pronouns that are inclusive, really making an effort to be gender neutral if, you know, we're not totally comfortable or don't know how to have those conversations just yet. But there's so much power in just keeping things gender neutral and not stating that this man and woman. And students pick up on that. Students recognize when adults are being gender neutral and when they're not assuming that all students in the classroom identify as straight. And so, you know, it would be great if the scenarios that we use are all encompassing. And I understand, though, that sometimes school districts have a much harder time with that. I'm hoping, though, with the bill that was essentially passed in January, that we'll be able to have more of those conversations around the nuance, around gender, around sexual and gender identity with their students in a way that will really empower them. I think that those are all ways that we can combine sex education essentially with sexual assault prevention education.
Fabulous. Well, and I have to, you know, echo that last point about making sure that our prevention efforts are inclusive, because mm-hmm. I think that we'll really be working against our prevention efforts if we fail to be inclusive. So
absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I really believe that that's something that needs to be pushed a little bit more. And I think, you know, we can all do a better job of it. You know, for the students who identify as heterosexual in the classroom, it's no big deal. But for the ones that don't, it is a big deal. And representation absolutely matters. And we need to be doing that for our kids, our students.
Well, thank you again, Sarah. It's been wonderful talking with you today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission, or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's calcasa.org.